Okay, thank you very much for joining. As we do each week, we're going to be studying the Ha'aras of Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik on the Parsha. And one of the primary topics that I'm going to be speaking about this Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik has a whole cluster of ideas, specifically as it relates to the Moadim, as it relates to the Yamim Tovim. So let's already, we're going to start a little bit, not like our usual minug, but start from Perek Chaf Gimel. By Deber Hashem, El Moshe Leimor, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, V'mat Lehem Moadei Hashem. Hashem Tikru Osa Mikroi Kodesh, Elehei Moadoi. Rav Soloveitchik begins with a beautiful, beautiful comment about what time means for a Jew. And he says that Judaism created a new perspective on time that never existed before Judaism, and no one else understands and no one else believes it. Judaism is the only religion that believes that time has a unique, distinct personality. Time has an identity. Time has a charisma. Time has a unique identity. And listen to his beautiful words the way he says it. To Judaism, time is a living entity. He says all this on the words Mikrai Kodesh. So Dr. Lustiger puts it on the words Mikrai Kodesh. It's a day that is called Kodesh. It's a day that's imbued with Kedusha. These days, these special days on the calendar, it's not just that we're commemorating the giving of the Torah so many thousand years ago. We're commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim that happened. No, this is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. This is Zman Cheruseinu. This is Zman Simchaseinu. Shabbos is Mikra Kodesh. It's not that we act differently on Shabbos. It's not that we act in a certain way. It's that the day itself has a different personality, a different character, a different ofi, a different qualitative difference. He says to the scientist, time is a mathematical concept. To modern man does not associate the term day with any kind of substance or contact. To Judaism, in contrast, time is a living entity. There is substance and essence to time. Time is not a void, but a reality. One can ascribe attributes such as joyous or sad. Joyous or sad is not just people are joyous or sad, but a time could be joyous or sad. One can refer to a day as evil, meaning that the day itself is cursed. Tisha B'Av is an evil day. It's a bad day. The day itself is bad. Huchmalu ba'atzaros. It's not just that bad things happened on Tisha B'Av. The day itself was imbued and with a certain character. When we refer to a holy day, Mikroi Kodesh, we do not merely signify that it is a day in which man somehow experiences holiness. It's not just a day where we experience holiness. The day itself has an inner endowment, a charisma hidden in its very substance. It has suddenly become a metaphysical entity. So we have to understand what Shabbos, we're about to come upon a Shabbos, what Shabbos means. It's not just like we act differently, we put on some nice clothing and you eat some chalent. And it's not just that we act in a sense, it's like a vacation day. It's that the very nature and character of the day is a completely different level. It's a completely different perspective. And he continues along the same way, something unbelievable. This is going to be a main theme of the whole first half of this year. Rav Soloveitchik develops the idea that we know, amazingly, that when it comes to Yomim Tovim, now, it's very interesting. And everybody points out this kasha. This, you know, sometimes I say, wow, he pointed out something that nobody else knows. Everybody and their grandmother asked this kasha. Everybody asked this kasha. It starts off and says, right, Daber Hashem Oshalimor, Daber Al-Bnei Yisrael Matalia, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Osam Mikroi Kodesh, these Moadim, that you, Klal Yisrael, Asher Tikru'u Osam Mikroi Kodesh, that you, Klal Yisrael, are going to declare them as Kodesh, Elohim Moadai, these are my Moadim. And what's the first one of the Moadim? What does the Torah start with? Shabbos. Shabbos is one of the Mo'adim that Klal Yisrael declares as Kadosh? That's not true. It's not true. Shabbos, the Eibishter declares as Kedusha. Hashem declares Shabbos is Kadosh. Hashem says that Shabbos is Kadosh. Right? That's why in Shemona Esrei, on Musaf, on Shabbos, and on Shachos, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies the Shabbos. On Yontif, what do we say? Mekadesh Yisrael Vahazmanim. Because on Yontif, the Kedusha comes from Klal Yisrael. What does it mean that on Yontif, the Kedusha comes from Klal Yisrael? We decide when the new moon is, when the new month is. We decide Kiddush HaPiriyah before. Now we have a fixed calendar, but Amol, it used to be once that we would decide Kiddush HaPi HaRi'iyah. And by the way, the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Atem Afilu Shogigin, Atem Afilu Mutim, Atem Afilu Mizidim. And when it comes to the establishment of the calendar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely gave it up to man, gave it up to Beis Din. Even if Beis Din made a mistake, doesn't matter. If Beis Din sanctified the new moon, it was wrong. It was a cloudy day and they didn't see the moon right. Then all of a sudden the clouds dispersed and they saw they made a mistake. Too bad. It's already Rosh Chodesh. You don't change it. You don't change it. Atem afilu mezidin, atem afilu mutim. Because it's totally up to Klal Yisrael to sanctify the month, the new moon. And therefore, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, all of it was totally up to Klal Yisrael. If Hashem decided Pesach was really supposed to be Monday, but Klal Yisrael decided it's Tuesday, it follows Tuesday. Not with the Rebbe Hashem. Atem afilu mizidim. Even if you make a mistake, even if Beis Din purposely made a mistake, purposely, the Gemara says. Rabbi Shechter likes to joke. I'm sure I've mentioned this once over the 18 years that this year has been running. 16, 17, I forgot already. Got to count it up. Tavshin Samach Hei, that was the first year. Anyway, so 16 years. So, we're ending year 16 of this year. Amazing, Baruch Hashem. Time flies when you're having fun, Jerry. Time flies when you're having fun. So
doesn't have to end in the summer this year, Rabbi.
So Rabbi Sai. So Rav Shechter likes to joke. It's not a joke. He really means it. But some people think there is a medrash that sounds like this. It's not just people think this way. Some people think that you have to follow the rabbis, even if you are 100% sure they are making a mistake. Because the pasuk says, "Lo sasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu small." And so the Gemara darshins, "Afilu al yamin shehu small." Even if the rabbi tells you your right is your left and your left is your right, it sounds like you have to listen to him. So if Shechter says that's a misreading of that Gemara and that brisa, it's in Horios. There's a statement in Horios. Rav Shechter says that's a mistake. That's a mistake. Herman Wouk made that mistake. And that's why he wrote the book, The Cain Mutiny. Rav Shechter likes to say that the book, The Cain Mutiny, is based on the principle of Afilu HaYamin Shehu Small. Right? Herman Wouk grew up in Great Neck, I believe. He lived in Great Neck for a time. Rabbi Tendler was the first rabbi, I think, of the Great Neck Synagogue. Herman Wouk was one of his balabatim. My grandfather in his book writes a great story about how at a meeting of my grandfather was the national director of Torah Masorah for many years. So in his book, he's got a great story of where Moshe Feinstein was defending Herman Wouk's book, This Is My God, in front of another Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav Moshe Feinstein ended the argument by saying, Herman Wouk is as frum as you are, or frummer. That's what he said to this other Rosh Yeshiva. My grandfather wrote in the book, and that's why Art Scroll did not want to publish my grandfather's book. But that's another story. That's another story for another time. So they published it under Shire Press because of that story. How did Rav Moshe know Herman Wouk? Because Rav Moshe's son-in-law, Rabbi Tendler, was Herman Wouk's rabbi in Great Neck. That's how he knew it. Anyway, so Rav Shechter likes to say that Herman Wouk made a mistake in the Cain Mutiny, because the Cain Mutiny, I believe, I read it a very, very long time ago, but I believe that it's based on the idea that you follow the captain even if the captain's an idiot. So Herman Wouk, based on his descent, that Afilu HaYamin Shehu Small, that you have to listen to the rabbis, even if the rabbi's telling you something wrong. Rav Shechter says, that's ridiculous. It's not true. We don't believe that. If you know 100% that a rabbi is wrong, it's usher to listen to him. What does that b'risa mean? I feel like you meant you small. If you're 98% sure the rabbi is wrong, then you have to listen to him. If you're 98, then assume you're wrong and he's right. But if you're 100% wrong, you know that he got the right and left. You see it in front of your face. He's calling the right, left. You can't listen to him. That's us, sir. You're not allowed to do it. Said Rav Shechter, there's only one area of halacha that you have to listen to the right, to the rabbi, even if he's 100% dead wrong. That's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. That's when it comes to Kfiyas HaChodesh. Of course, we're going to see in a second, there's a pasuk in the Chumash. Atem afilu mezidin. There's a Meferish Gemara. Even if the Beis Din purposely gives you the wrong date because they made a mistake. So even if they made a mistake, or even if they on purpose made Rosh Chodesh the wrong day, this is the only area of halacha that you have to listen to the rabbis, even if they make a mistake. But every other area of halacha, if you know the rabbi's wrong, it's usher to listen to the rabbi. So I heard many, many times from Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechter. By the way, not everybody agrees to Rav Shechter about this, but that's the way Rav Shechter understood this. Anyway, how in the world did I get to that? So we know that when it comes to Shabbos, it's Mekadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh HaShabbos. But when it comes to Yontif, it's Klal Yisrael's Mekadesh Yontif. So everybody and their grandmother asked the following question. So wait a minute. What do you mean? Ela Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Osam Mikroi Kodesh. Ela Hei Moadei. What do you mean Asher Tikru'u? And it starts with Shabbos. Shabbos is not Asher Mikroi Kodesh. Why is the Parshas HaMoadim start with Shabbos? Isn't Shabbos something completely different? So listen to what Rav Soloveitchik discovered a Yerushalmi that nobody else knows. That's why he's Rav Soloveitchik. He discovers a Yerushalmi. There is a passage in Yerushalmi, Psachim, Perek Yud, Mishnah Beis in the Yerushalmi, which says that in fact, Kiddush on Shabbos, you're supposed to say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom HaShabbos. There is an opinion in Yerushalmi that you're supposed to Mekadesh v'yom HaShabbos. Says of Soloveitchik, if you say like that, Yerushalmi, so then our Psuk can make a lot of sense. Just like Klal Yisrael's Mekadesh the Yomim Tovim, Klal Yisrael's Mekadesh the Shabbos also. Said of Soloveitchik, in light of the seemingly contradictory Gemaras, in the Bavli Psachim Kuf Yud Zayin, and in the Yerushalmi Perek Yud Halacha Beis, we must conclude that with regard to Shabbos, there is a dual sanctification. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man sanctify Shabbos in partnership. This dual sanctification of the Shabbos clarifies the halacha of Tosefa Shabbos. You know, there's a halacha that a human has to add on to Shabbos before Shabbos and after Shabbos. What do you mean? If Hashem sanctifies the Shabbos, well, what chelik do we have in it? How can we add on to Shabbos? Hashem is the one who sanctifies Shabbos, not us. So he says if there's no role for man in the sanctification of the day, there would be no ability for one to extend the Shabbos. When we make Kiddush on Shabbos, we sanctify the day as a moed, as a special day. That's the whole idea of us saying Kiddush. The whole idea of Kiddush, said Rav Soloveitchik, is Hashem reaching out to us and saying, I want you to join me in sanctifying the Shabbos. I sanctify the Shabbos, and my Shabbos is going to be Shabbos whether you get involved or not. That's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif, by the way. My Shabbos is going to be Shabbos whether you get involved or not. But you, Klal Yisrael, add a dimension of sanctity to the Shabbos by the Kiddush that you make Friday night. Kiddush infuses the day with an element of holiness that is missing until these words of Kiddush are recited, even after Shabbos itself has begun, even after Hashem Shabbos has begun. And listen to this, gentlemen, listen to this. Listen to this. This rationale explains, now I'm not sure how many of you know this halacha, I only learned this halacha yesterday at 11 o'clock at night when I was preparing this year. But I'm sure all of you who probably know a lot more halacha than me, all of you already know this halacha. There is a din in Shulchan Aruch that says, when the father comes home from shul Friday night, you're supposed to make Kiddush right away. You're not supposed to drei zacharan and shmooze and hak and how you doing and how is the week and who are you? And even after shul Friday night, not supposed to sit there and hack. And okay, you say good Shabbos, but you're not supposed to just hang around in shul for a long period of time. You're supposed to try to make Shabbos as early as possible. So says the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's because the malachim come home from you from shul Friday night and they're hanging around, so it's not nice to make the malachim wait. Seischem l'shol malachi asharis. You got to get rid of them. But Rav Soloveitchik has a different pshat. He says, according to the pshat that he just said, that making Kiddush endows Shabbos with Kedusha. It helps add an additional dimension. So you got to add it right away. Every second that you don't add that Kedusha to Shabbos, you're missing out on the added level of Kedusha that you can add. The Klal Yisrael adds to the Shabbos. According to the Shulchan Aruch, man is not permitted to delay imparting the added holiness to Shabbos through the recitation of Kiddush. What an important lesson to us. And I've spoken about this so many times over the years. I feel very, very strongly about this fact that Shabbos is not just about, shouldn't just be about what, if you ask people, their first gut reaction. Last night I went to a shiur and given by my brother-in-law on Zoom, so he asked everybody a very penetrating question. There were 170 people listening to the shiur online. And he said, put in the chat, let's say the corona restrictions were restricted tomorrow. What's the first thing you would do? What's the first thing you're going to do? A deep question to think about. Deep question. So, I say all the time, let me ask you a question. When you think of Shabbos, what's the first thing you think of? How you define? So unfortunately, Rachman al-San, some people, what's their Shabbos? Sleep. That's the first thing I think of. Sleep. Sleep. What's the first thing of Shabbos? Cholent. Cholent. Sleep. The newspaper. Cake and coffee. Whatever you think about it is. But the Rav Soloveitchik is teaching us over here that Shabbos is about investing the day with sanctity. It's about singing Zemiris. It's about learning Torah. It's about saying Kiddush. It's about talking to your children. It's about connecting with family. It's about passing Mesorah. It's about passing Mesorah on to children, grandchildren. That's what Shabbos is. That's what Shabbos is. It's about Oneg Shabbos. It's about Kavod Shabbos. It's about respect for the. It's about connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's about Neshama Yisera. That's what Soloveitchik is trying to tell us over here. Klal Yisrael has to join Hashem in adding sanctity to Shabbos, not just sleeping, not just chont. It's adding to the sanctity of the Shabbos. Let's continue. And in the next piece, Rav Soloveitchik once again follows along a very, very similar idea, similar path. Eilam Ode Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Osam B'mo Adam. Based on the word osam in this verse, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chof Hei Amad Aleph, as I said before, emphasizes that Bezdin are the ones who decide this matter. Atem afilu shogigin, atem afilu mizidin, atem afilu mutim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his signet ring and gives it to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes subject to the decision of the earthly court of Klal Yisrael. The glorification of man reaches its pinnacle. That's going to be, it's a very big theme in Rav Soloveitchik's ideas, themes, and teaching. Man has such koichos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invests man with such kochos. The role of man, and here Rav Soloveitchik repeats something that he repeated in the past couple of weeks. The role of man in the endowment of Kedusha is a central theme in Halacha. For example, and he quoted this example a few weeks ago, if a sofer writes a Sefer Torah, but when he's writing the names of Hashem, he doesn't have in mind to endow the Shem Hashem with the Kedusha of Shemos HaKadoshim, the Sefer Torah is pasul. If the sofer did not have Kedusha Hashem, it's up to a Jew, it's up to a flesh and blood to endow our holiest object with its Kedusha. It's up to a human. The loftiness of the text itself makes no difference. If the sofer does not write the name, having in mind that he is writing for the purpose of endowing the scroll with holiness, even the ultimate expression of faith itself, the Shema, becomes unholy. A Torah scroll is invested with holiness by man. A carbon is consecrated by man's designation. Whether Kedusha is in a physical matter or Kedusha in time, we find very few instances where man is not the active participant in the establishment of Kedusha. Rav Soloveitchik feels that we have to realize that it is up to us to bring Kedusha into our lives. Ah. Now, in a very similar way, but going in a slightly different direction. So again, on the words, so we have in the parasha, we have, of course, the cutting of the Omer, and the counting of the Omer is in this week's parasha. So the pasuk says, Kisavo el aretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, Asher Ani Nosalechem, Ukitzartem es kitzira. Now, the simple pshat of the pasuk, so when you happen to be doing the harvest, make sure to bring the carbon Omer. Vavesim es Omer reishis kitzirchem alakoi. You have to bring the carbon Omer. Rav Soloveitchik sees in the words, Ukitzartem es kitzira, a whole ganzer drasha. Ukitzartem es kitzira. Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to work the land. He wants us to work the land. He wants us to get our hands dirty with the working of the land. Now listen to his words here, because now I'm going to apologize. I'm going to apologize a little bit for Rav Soloveitchik here, because it sounds like he's giving a philosophy class here, which sometimes he does. Rav Soloveitchik's mind was beyond comprehension. So he might say some words here that sound a little bit highfalutin, but I'm going to translate it into the words that you and I can understand. Basically, to some, you know, he's going to. All right, let's read it, and then you'll get my drift. He's basically saying, ladies and gentlemen, that some people think that there's life in the Beis Medrash, and then there's life in the fields. That when you're in the Beis Medrash, that's the time to be from, and when you're out in the fields, so you're getting your hands dirty, you're working Nebuch, you have to work for a living, Nebuch, you have to be outside the Beis Medrash. Rav Soloveitchik does not view Judaism as that way. A person shouldn't think, Nebuch, I have to be out in the fields. Ukitzartem es kitzira. Yiddishkeit speaks to you outside, like today's Daf Yomi. Today's Daf Yomi. In today's Daf Yomi, there was a drasha that said, Smach bachur bialdusecha. Learn, some of them first name means learn Torah when you're young, but then make sure that apply the Torah to the world. Like I always say, the Lublin or Rav made sure that on the top, and you could go to Lublin today and see that on top of the doorway, Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, what's the pasuk? Lechu vanim shimu li yiras Hashem alam etchem. Why is that pasuk on the top of the door? Because the Lublin Rav, when he made his yeshiva, he said it's not a kunz for the guys to be from in the Beis Medrash. But when they walk out of the Beis Medrash, they look at the door, I want them to see the pasuk lechu vanim shimu li. When they walk into the Beis Medrash, I want them to see. The key is, are they going to take the Torah out with them into the field? Yiddishkeit believes in uktzartem es kitzira. That's the idea, except that Rav Soloveitchik says it in a lot harder to understand language than I just said it to you. So let's hear his beautiful language for the smart people that's on this call, which does not include me. You'll want to hear it in this language. Here we go. This is what he says. On the one hand, the Chumash commands men, ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, uvachal nafshecha, uvachal ma'odecha. That you have to love Hashem with all of your money, with all of your means. Only a Jew is capable of such focus, complete concentration upon, and in complete immersion in the focus, without being distracted by peripheral interests, anxieties, and problems. On the other hand, the same Torah which just caused man to put all of your effort in loving Hashem, all your money, everything, the same Torah commands him to return to the majestic community, which, preoccupied with peripheral interests, anxieties, and problems, builds, plants, harvests, regulates rivers, heals the sick, participates in state affairs, is imaginative in dreaming, bold in planning, daring in undertaking, and is out to conquer the world. V'kivshua, right? What does Hashem command Adam and Chava? Go out into the world, v'kivshua. Conquer it. With what simplicity not paying the least attention to the staggering dialectic implied in such an approach. The Chumash speaks of an existence this-worldly centered. Right? Like the Pasuk says in Devarim, when you build a new house, Kisivna Bayis Chadash, and you reap the harvest, and you go into the in your neighbor's vineyard. So you're talking about harvesting and vineyard. How can a nation that's focused on Avas Hashem worry about these things? Said Rav Soloveitchik, if one would ask me about the, he says here, the teleology of halacha. Okay, what is teleology? Teleology means the goal. If one would ask me about the goal of the halacha, I would tell him that the halacha manifests itself exactly in the paradoxical yet magnificent dialectic which underlies the halachic gesture. Okay, what does he mean when he says that? He means that I would tell you that this tension between Ruchnius and Gashmius in Yiddishkeit is actually not a tension at all. When man gives himself over to be a Jew, the halacha reminds him that he is also needed in the other community, in the Gashmiistika community. And when it comes across, man, when he is involved in the Gashmius, it doesn't let him forget that he will never find self-fulfillment only in Gashmius, and that Hashem awaits his return to the Ruchnius side. I would also add, said Rav Soloveitchik, in reply to such a question, that many a time I have the distinct impression that the halacha considered the steady oscillating of man of faith between majesty of the outside world of Gashmius and covenant of Ruchnius, not as a dialectical tension, but rather as a complementary movement. These two things are not fighting. The Gashmius and Ruchnius, they complement each other. The majestic gesture of the man of faith, I am inclined to think, is looked upon by the halacha not as contradictory to the covenantal encounter, but rather as the reflex action which is caused by this encounter when man feels the gentle touch of Hashem's hand upon your shoulder and the invitation of Ruchnius to join Hashem is extended to him. And now in the last paragraph is when he says it in a way that you and I can easily understand it. The halacha believes that there is only one world, not divisible into secular and holy sectors, which can either plunge into ugliness and hatefulness or be roused to meaningful redeeming activity, gathering up all its powers into a state of holiness. Accordingly, the task of the Jewish people is to be engaged, not in dialectical, again, he says dialectical means tension, two things, not in fighting with each other of Ruchnius and Gashmius, surging forward and retreating, but in uniting the two communities of Ruchnius Gashmius into one community, where man is both creative, free agent, and the obedient servant of Hashem. Wow. So Soloveitchik thinks that the Gashmiistic world is not supposed to be a hindrance to us. It's not supposed to be something that we're fighting. It's supposed to be something that complements, that the Ruchnistic world is able to complement. Now, let's talk a little bit about Sfiras HaOmer. We'll close with these couple of ideas about Sfiras HaOmer. That's where we're holding it right now. So beautifully relevant. We'll close with this. Usvartem lachem imachras haShabbos miyom haviyach mesomer atnufa sheva shabbosos tmimos tiyena. Before we get to this, just one little cute idea. Yom HaKippurim. Says Rav Soloveitchik, why is Yom HaKippurim in the plural? Kippurim. You know what he says so beautifully? He says, if you take 100 Jews in a room, they're going to have 100 different ways of doing tshuva. Some are going to do tshuva through crying, and some are going to do tshuva through laughing. Some are going to do tshuva through learning, and some are going to do tshuva through davening. Some are going to do tshuva this way, that way. Yom HaKippurim. Hashem says there's a lot of different ways you can get kapara. Yom HaKippurim. You can get kapara in so many different ways. But just find your way back. You use your way. Your way doesn't have to be the other person's way. Your way back might be a different way back. Everyone has their own way back. Yom HaKippurim, it's plural. It's plural because there's so many different ways to get there. So beautiful. Oh. Usvarta. So the idea of counting every single day, one day at a time, is a crucial prerequisite for Shavuos, Seder of Salvation. The whole idea of counting. The halachic way of thinking and values manifests itself in action, in laws pertaining to the external deeds and inner impulses. However, what lies at the root is Torah, a divine mode of thinking in all its strangeness and otherness. Counting is symbolic of our halachic thinking in that both demand precision and continuity. If you forget one day, you're out. If you forget one day, you're out. Now again, I want to just make sure people know this, api halacha. If you forget one day, one full, we all know, if you forget a day, now you can count during the day, you could still count the next night with a bracha. But more than that, if you forget one day, Sam Rishonim hold, you could still count. You still get a mitzvah, according to Sam Rishonim. We don't make a bracha because you should still count without a bracha. We don't make a bracha because especially during Corona, a lot more people are forgetting because you don't have that minyan that you always go to. But we don't count with the bracha, but Sam Rishonim, we don't count the brachas as suffix brachas because Sam Rishonim say you're not Yotzei anymore. But we don't hold that way. You know, we hold you should still count. We don't make a bracha. But again, in theory, the idea that those, according to those Rishonim, that say, if you miss one day, you're out. You're out. Where's the mercy? Where's the mercy? You know, like the parent who always calls me up, like I let's say a kid did something wrong and he has to get a consequence. So 90 out of 100 parents, kid, the kid did something wrong. Everybody's annoyed to the kid. 90 out of 100 parents call me and say, show him a little leniency. Show him a little mercy. Like, what do you have to come down on him for? Show him a little mercy. 90 out of 100. If you miss one day of Sfira, you're out. You're out. What do you mean? It's just one day. Just one day. You said Kriya Shema this morning at 9:30 instead of 9:15. You're not Yotze Kriya Shema. I said the same words. I had the same kavana. Why can't the Rebbeinu Shlom be meichel me 5 minutes? What's the big deal? Sfira Omer. Before you accept the Torah, you got to count. Every single day. Counting implies precision. Klal Yisrael had to learn that the halacha requires precision. There's a certain amount of precision. Two important lessons from Sfira Seder Salvechik. Precision and consistency. Consistency. Every morning is Shacharis. That doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs perfection from everybody. It doesn't mean they expect us to be like Malachim. But the goal is perfection. Listen to his words. Counting is symbolic of our halachic thinking in that both demand precision and continuity. The mathematical series is a continuous one. There is a systematic transition from one to another. One cannot leap from position to position. You can't go from day 15 to day 19 because I feel like it. I think I'm ready for 19 today. No. There's an order. Our halakhic thinking behaves in a similar manner. It is orderly, precise cognition. There is no arbitrariness and no haphazard conclusions. Logical necessity reigns supreme. An erroneous count or omission of one position suspends the whole count. You made a mistake, you missed one day, you counted the wrong night one night, you're out. One cannot jump from 3 to 5. one must move through position four. In a word, halakhic thinking is like mathematical thinking. The detail is extremely important. That's Judaism. The halakhic detail is extremely important. The Jew who approaches Har Sinai to receive the Torah is rooted in the ancient past, while he or she is at the same time committed to a future which is pre-experienced as a reality. One's mind is precise and exact, pedantic as to the component parts, and also beholds an exalted vision of the whole. All this is symbolized by counting the Omer. Yeah, my brother-in-law, also Rabbi Benavitz, last week talked about this. That's why we count days and weeks. Why do we count days and weeks? Omer, he said, is Milashin Ma'amer, bundling. Hayom, we said last night, Hayom Tisha Ve'esrim Yom, Shem Arba Shavuos V'yom Echad Bomer. So he asked a great kasha, right? What, you can't count it up yourself? Today is 29 days, which happens to be 4 weeks and 1 day. Shkayach. Well, I needed to say that. You couldn't have figured it out on your own. So, my brother-in-law, Rabbenowitz, said a beautiful pshat, that each day counts, but you also have to look at the sum total as well. It's not enough just to say today's the 29th day. The 29th day, I also want to understand in the terms of the broader whole. Yiddishkeit cares about all the little details, so you can't lose sight of the details. The details matter, but also don't lose sight of the forest and the trees. You have to also see the bigger picture. That's the last line here. One's mind is precise and exact. Pedantic as we have to care about every detail, but don't get carried away. But don't think Judaism is just about details. It's not. It is for sure about details. But it's also about a grand vision of having a relationship with Hashem, of Ava and Yira. Like my Rebbe Reb Lachman likes to say, the Ramban al HaTorah in Parshas Yisro says that the yisod of all mitzvahs to say is Avas Hashem, and the yisod of all mitzvahs lo to say is Yiras Hashem. So the details matter, but Rachman al-Limabai, the relationship that's behind the details and the majestic grandeur of Yiddishkeit as a whole, we don't just look at Sphere as days. It's also weeks. It's also, you have to look at the whole. Look at the conglomerate of putting every little thing together. That's also very important. And finally, the last piece. The last piece. It's so beautiful. And we'll close. Actually, there's two more pieces. Two more pieces. Okay. Usfarta lechem imachras haShabbos. He says so beautifully. You know, the Gemara in Pesachim says is machlok is the tzdukim and the perushim. What does mean machros haShabbos mean? The tzdukim said machros haShabbos means you always count sfira the Sunday after Pesach starts. Mimachros haShabbos. If Pesach's on a Wednesday, so you start counting on Sunday. 4 days later when you start. That's what the tzdukim meant. Mimachros haShabbos. But Klal Yisrael said no. Rav Soloveitchik said, what's the Yisod HaMachlokas? We believe Shavuos must be tied to Pesach. There is no Pesach without Shavuos. The Tzdukim said, no, Shavuos is not tied to Pesach. Just start counting on a random Sunday in the middle of Pesach. We believe, no, it's got to be after day one, right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, because there is no Yetzias Mitzrayim without Torah. Right away, you got to count down. There is no freedom without counting down to Mamad Har Sinai. That's why the Tzdukim insisted that it's a separate holiday. They said there's freedom without the Torah. But we believe Alakachti. We believe that Shavuos is called Atzeres because it's like the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. Pesach is 7 days, and the end of Pesach is Shavuos. The Ramban says that the whole Sfiras HaOmer is like one long cholamoid between Pesach and Sukkot, between Pesach and Shavuos. That's why Shavuos is called Atzeres. Just like Sukkot has Shmini Atzeres right afterwards, the last day Atzeres, Shavuos is called Atzeres because it's the last day of Pesach, because there ain't no freedom without Torah. And finally, he says, so beautifully, this refers to my favorite pasuk in all of Pesukim Dezimra on Shabbos morning. My favorite pasuk. Shevesh Abasos Tamimos Tiyana. You have to count 7 full weeks. Full weeks. A slave doesn't care about time. Every day just rolls one day into the next. But a Jew realizes how precious every moment of time is to be used. He refers here to this idea. No fraction of time, however infinitesimal, should slip through the fingers left unexploited. For eternity may depend upon the brief moment. That's one idea. Second, qualitative time consciousness involves the vicarious experience while in the present of the past and the future. No distance, however removed, should separate one's time consciousness from the dawns of one's group or from the destiny and future of one's ideal. So time for a Jew means every second counts, and time means while we're in the present, we're always thinking about the past and we're always looking towards the future. But what's my favorite pasuk from Shabbos morning davening? Limnos yameinu kein hoda v'navi levav chachma. What's true wisdom? Limnos yameinu kein hoda. Counting every single day. Making every single day count. Not only making every day count, making every hour count. Making every minute count. Making every second count. Without leading, not that you have to lead a paranoid life, that you're stressed. It's a very fine line, not to be stressed out. Some people they mamish need to use every second. They get totally stressed out, and that happens to me a lot of times also. So there's a fine line between unhealthy stress and healthy stress. Healthy stress means, like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to run to the Beis Medrash. Healthy stress is that every second is important. Every second can be used for a mitzvah. Every second counts. That's the idea of Sfiras Omer. Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tehiyena. 7 complete and full weeks. That every day counts. Every moment counts. Every minute, every week, every day is to be used for a productive purpose. Is to be used for a mitzvah. Is to be able to be used for something special. So hopefully this week we discuss some of the beautiful themes of Shabbos and the Yontif. How Hashem wants us to be involved in sanctifying the Shabbos. He wants us to be involved in using Shabbos to pass on the Mesorah to our children and grandchildren. He wants Shabbos to be used for the study of Torah, for quiet, slow, contemplative prayer, for labedik, slow, heartfelt zemiros of singing to Hashem, of divrei Torah, of beautiful words and ideas, Shabbos and Yontif. And hopefully, we should be zochah soon to experience that time where will we actually be able to experience the Yomim Tovim once again? Ki savo el haaretz uketzartem es ketzira. May we be able to go to the land and work the land and till the land and realize that Ruchnius and Gashmius will come to its whole combined, complementing each other when we should be able to bring Karbanos to Karban Omer. May that day come in here of Yameinu, Amen, V'Amen. Thank you very much for joining. Everyone should have a wonderful day.